Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special mini episode of Nebby, the podcast about Pittsburgh's history, mysteries, myths, and misanthropes. I'm April Johnston, your researcher, writer, producer, and host. Thank you to all who listened to Nebby's inaugural episode about the crashed B-25 bomber. Since we're on the subject of plane mishaps, and while I'm working on February's full-length episode, I thought you might be interested in another little piece of Pittsburgh aviation trivia. This time, it involves Amelia Earhart. Full disclosure, I'm kind of obsessed with Amelia Earhart. I've read multiple books about her, including one that she wrote herself. I've watched all the documentaries I can find. And I've even donated to the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery. They're researchers looking for smoking gun evidence that Earhart crashed on a remote Pacific island and survived for a time as a castaway before succumbing to the elements. So when I found out that she once crashed her plane at a small airfield outside the city, you can bet I went straight to the newspaper archives to see what I could find. Amelia Earhart had a reputation for taking chances. She flew fast, but didn't always stick the landing. She was incredibly brave, but not always nimble. Her planes bore the evidence of her impetuousness. Broken wings, mangled propellers, crumpled landing gear. She was something like a newborn giraffe, clumsily maneuvering about with good intentions, happily enduring the bumps, bruises, and embarrassments of little failures, if it meant that one day she would take long, elegant strides. She did, and the world loved her for it. One afternoon in August 1928, months after the transatlantic flight that made her famous, but years before she was lost forever, Earhart took off from Rye, New York, and headed west for a short vacation. Along the way, she made several passes over Pittsburgh and admired how it looked from the air, how its rivers carved the land into a perfect triangle. She had been there only a month before to accept a key to the city and celebrate that transatlantic flight. But she decided it was worth stopping again and arranged to put her plane down at Rogers Field in Fox Chapel. From the air, Rogers Field looked countertop flat, but as the plane skimmed the ground, Earhart spotted a problem, a rut in the runway. Side note, apparently in Pittsburgh, you can't avoid a pothole even if you're flying. It was too late for Earhart to maneuver around it. Her front wheel struck the rut with such force, the plane swerved and stood on its nose for a moment before falling back to earth. It may have looked like a minor mishap after the plane settled, but the force smashed the landing gear, cracked the left wing, and splintered the propeller. Earhart and her passenger, her future husband, George Palmer Putnam, were fine. In fact, they decided to dine at the Hotel Schenley while they waited for a replacement plane to arrive from New York. Over coffee, scrambled eggs, and melon, Earhart recounted the accident for the press. "When the wheel struck and the ship careened, I thought it was going right over on its nose and settle with the wheels up," she said. "I didn't circle the field first, because as I looked down, it appeared so level, I didn't believe I could make anything but a perfect landing." "It's perfectly silly," she continued. "One can land that plane on a postage stamp, and if the ditch had been marked with a few white flags or something like that, we could easily have missed it." Later that day, four mechanics used parts from the plane that arrived from New York to fix her busted aircraft. And 2 days later, she was off again, destination unknown. Of course, today we know she later landed in Ohio, and then she hopscotched her way across the country to Los Angeles. That fall, she published her first book and became aviation editor of Cosmopolitan magazine, back when they had one of those. Then she spent the bulk of the next decade setting and breaking aviation records. and then setting them again. Thanks for listening to this special mini episode of Nebby. The podcast will return in 2 weeks with a full-length episode about an essential contributor to Pittsburgh sports and culture. While you're waiting for that, why not rate and review Nebby on iTunes and tell your friends to do the same? See you in a few weeks.